This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I'm so glad you decided to spend the next hour with me. Before I introduce my guest for today's show, I want to invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and get our free ebook, Overcoming Portion Distortion. It's packed with quick and easy ideas for making mealtime fun and healthy. So get your free copy today at eatgreatlivewellradio.com. We've got another great show for you today, so grab a pen and paper and your favorite beverage, and let's get started. My guest today is Kelly Hill. Kelly is a nutritional therapy practitioner and whole foods diet expert. She is the founder of the Right Plan Nutrition Counseling and the best-selling author of the popular two-week weight loss program book series. As a whole foods diet expert, she teaches people how to find their optimal health and lose weight using only whole foods, no cans, boxes, or supplements. Her philosophy is that there is no one-size-fits-all diet. Kelly believes that each of us is unique, and a diet may work for some people, but not for others. She also believes that it's important to understand your own body and its needs in order to lose weight effectively, safely, and permanently. All of Kelly's five books focus on real foods for health, weight loss, and detoxification, and they've been highlighted on multiple television shows across the country. I'm so excited to have this time with Kelly today, and I can't wait to hear what she has to share with us. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you so much. It's so exciting to be here today.
I'm really excited for this conversation, and, you know, I have shared so many of the same beliefs and philosophies that you do, and I loved the fact that you don't believe there's a one-size-fits-all diet and that everyone really is unique. So I'm excited for today's conversation.
I can't wait.
I want to start by having you tell our listeners a little bit more about your background and what it means to be a whole foods diet expert.
My background's actually pretty funny. For 5 years after college, I actually owned two 7-Eleven convenience stores. And during that time, I met the man who's now my husband, and he was in the process of buying four McDonald's restaurants. And we ultimately, I was the queen of convenience because I left 7-Eleven after 5 years and went to work with my husband, and we owned and operated three McDonald's restaurants. So I know a lot about the convenience world. But the interesting thing was I didn't really eat very much of the food. I didn't allow my kids to eat the food. It was really a treat, you know, something that we went to special. And over the years, as I worked along in the business, I wasn't in the restaurants as much. One day a month, I'd go in and work. And we had this brand new restaurant manager, very young gentleman at the time, who, and I went in and I did my day working, seeing how everything went. And he called me and he said, "Kelly, I really need to talk to you." And we sat down and he said, "I would really appreciate it if you'd quit coming in to the restaurant." I thought, "Wow, anyway." And as he sat and talked to me, I realized, you know, we have these standards in that business. And I was really messing up those standards by talking to people about how to make the food healthier. That if they were going to choose McDonald's, here's ways that they could tweak it to make it the healthiest that they could. And as I sat and pondered that for about a week afterwards, I realized there's got to be some middle ground where we can have convenience and healthy. It needs to not be so black and white, you know, one or the other. And so I ended up going back to school and getting another degree in nutrition, health, and wellness. but it didn't quite fit for me. I still didn't feel like at that time they were, the American Medical Association was still recommending a lot of artificial foods, a lot of just manufactured, weird processed stuff that didn't feel like a good food. And I ended up deciding that I needed a different venue for my healthy, and I came across the Nutritional Therapy Association, which teaches whole foods, and that's where my final piece of my puzzle came together, and that's what I've been doing for about the past 5 or 6 years now, teaching people how to use just food. So it really is a whole foods diet. You know, like you said in the intro, there's no cans, there's no supplements, there's no boxes, there's nothing to go buy besides at your normal grocery store. And that's what a whole foods diet expert really does. And I absolutely love it. I have found my passion.
That's a really interesting story. And it's you've come such like, you know, such a distance from where you were to where you are. How do you find it is having those conversations today and, you know, looking at where the fast food industry has gone? Because, I mean, you're very intimately familiar with it. Do you think it's made some shifts towards getting healthier from when you were, you know, doing it before to where it is today?
I think it ebbs and flows. When it's politically viable to say that they're doing healthier options, all of the fast food restaurants jump on board. What isn't happening is those sales of those products aren't very good. And I think that's to be expected. I mean, I laugh when people tell me, hey, Kelly, if I'm going to McDonald's, the last thing I want is a salad. I want, you know, I'm getting my Big Mac. And mm-hmm. I think there's something to be said for the fact that we do need treats. And if mm-hmm. you're having that Big Mac or whatever it is, you know, whichever restaurant, once in a blue moon, then what the heck? Enjoy it and, you know, have fun with it. Don't feel guilty. Love every minute of it. Just don't make that a regular part of your food. And that's the piece where I think I've really seen great change with my personal clients is we can talk about the fact that, you know, busy people are still going to use convenience foods. And I'm never going to say that that's great, but I do recognize that that's going to happen. And we just need to figure out what those foods are going to be that are still going to be the healthiest choice so that the majority of the time, 80% of the time, you're still eating really well so that 20% of the time you can have whatever that treat is for you as a person and really enjoy it and not feel guilty about it.
And I think that's really important for people to understand. It's not what you do, you know, the majority of the time. You know, that it's what you do the majority of the time that's really going to make a difference on your health. So you can still have those treats 10 or 20% of the time, but if you're spending 80 or 90 really eating healthy, that's going to make a huge difference.
Oh, and who isn't? I mean, come on. I'm not going to give up cake at a birthday party. You know,
right.
I want it too. So we have to have that. I don't want to live 5 years longer but be in deprivation of all the fun stuff mm-hmm. in just to have 5 more years. So, I mean, I think it's really important to find that balance. And that, again, is part of what the Whole Foods is just recognizing that, you know, we are going to splurge. We just need to make the best choices we can, make that not the regular part of our diet, and enjoy it when we do it.
Absolutely. And what makes your story even more interesting is really your, you know, incredible personal journey overcoming both a heart attack and stroke to transform your health and your life. So can you talk a little bit about how you overcame those obstacles and just how it changed your life?
The interesting thing is it was my health that actually saved me. I was at probably the healthiest I'd ever been just before I turned 40, and my first heart attack was when I was 42 years old. So I really was super healthy, and the reason that I'm alive to tell the story is because I knew my body so well that I knew something was wrong. And when I went to the ER, and they told me there was nothing wrong with me. They'd run all the tests. They said, you're fine. Maybe you have indigestion, or you're having a panic attack or anxiety or a heartburn. And I thought, no, I absolutely know my body so well. I'm so healthy. I can tell you, Mr. Man in the white lab coat, that you're wrong and you don't know what you're talking about. And I'm not leaving this hospital. And I refused to leave. And he said, well, we're going to hook you up and we'll run some more tests, but I'm pretty sure a few hours from now we're just going to send you home. And I said, no, you're not. There's something wrong. And he ended up, before he actually ever even got me hooked up for the next set of tests, I had a full-blown heart attack, 100% blockage of my lateral anterior descending artery, the one that they call the widowmaker. So you only have minutes when you have that kind of heart attack to for them to save you. If I had actually trusted him rather than me and left the hospital, I'd be dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was 42 by 43. The stent they gave me wasn't working. I had heart bypass surgery at 43. And at 44, I had a stroke. And it actually wasn't my heart. It's in my blood. I have hypercoagulative blood, but they couldn't identify it at the time because nobody was looking in the right spot. And so it wasn't until I had the stroke and, you know, couldn't talk and couldn't swallow and, back in the hospital, laying there, not being able to do anything with my left hands. I'm drooling all over myself and, you know, just a ton of fun, to be honest. But the interesting thing is I've been, 25 cardiologists worldwide have studied me, as well as neurologists and, the blood guys, hematologists. They've all had a fun time playing with my blood. And they all say the same thing. If I had not been as healthy, there's absolutely no way I'd be alive. That it was the knowledge base of being able to identify that difference between something like a panic attack or indigestion and what I was sure was actually a medical emergency saved my life. If I hadn't been healthy, I would definitely be dead.
That's really interesting, because you're the second person that I've talked to in, not too long, that the fact that they were on a path to taking care of themselves and eating healthier and really knowing and listening to their bodies actually saved their life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so important for people to understand, when something doesn't feel right. And we really have to be our best advocates, because if, we don't, really know our bodies and can tell people that something's not right and really stand firm in that. A lot of doctors just say, oh, it's nothing, especially because you were so, not typical of someone who has heart disease, not at that age.
I had absolutely zero risk factors for heart disease, which was part of what they're looking at. And I, within my weight, I'm, nothing, absolutely nothing. And that's part of why I don't think they looked very hard either. And it was me being very clear that he was wrong, which did not make him very happy. But I think that's a really important piece, that 1 in 3 women die from a heart attack or stroke. And of the 2/3 women that actually live, 1 in 4 of those die the next year. And I think a huge part of that is because women don't know the symptoms. They don't know what they're looking for. Doctors don't really know. And, when that educated person, male or female, looks at us and says, no, it's really nothing, we, of course, have a tendency to believe that. We want to believe that. So we really have to be able to not only understand our bodies, but, like you said, stand on our feet and really demand that our instincts are right.
Absolutely. And that's why taking care of yourself and being healthy is really so important too, because it's really the best preventative medicine, because sometimes things do happen that are out of our control, like what happened to you. But because you knew your body and because you've been taking care of yourself, look where you are today. It makes such a difference.
Yeah, if I was a person that had indigestion or heartburn on a regular basis, I might have been able to notice the difference. I don't know, because I don't have those things, but it would be a lot easier to believe the doctor when they said, oh, that's all it is, because it's something that's happening in my body, or, you know, not dealing with stress and anxiety and panic attacks. If I had had those and then the doctor said, well, that's probably all it is, it would be so much easier to just say, oh, well, of course it is, and go on my merry way, and then I'd be dead. Where, you know, not having that stuff, again, you know, being healthy makes the difference, because you can say, well, no, I once in a while have indigestion. I know what it feels like. This isn't that. So being able to be healthy enough to recognize those differences, a huge, huge piece of the obstacles I think everybody has to overcome.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We need to take a quick break, but when we come back from our break, I want to talk more and really have a conversation around a whole food diet and what that looks like. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
At LifeScape, we believe in a proactive approach to your health or whole health, which is why we created the LifeScape Online Health Store. Browse our store for the best physician-recommended nutrition, skincare, and health-related products to fit any lifestyle and budget. Have your order shipped directly to your home or pick it up at our Scottsdale office. Our goal is to provide the most trusted products to enhance your health and beauty regimen. Visit LifeScapePremier.com/store today. LifeScape, whole health for a whole life.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. Today we're talking with Kelly Hill with The Right Plan, and we were talking about her health background and her health history, and I'm really excited to now you kind of have a conversation about a whole food diet and what that means. But before we do that, Kelly, one of the things I love to ask all my guests is what motivates them to live healthy? And we know you talked about why you want to really focus on your health, but how has that helped you and motivate you to want to help others live healthier? And it's really what we call your big why.
I would really say that I have two whys. The first one is that each time I've laid in the hospital, whether it was the heart attack or the heart bypass surgery or the stroke, the realization that my son, who with the very first one was only 6 years old, he would possibly live his life and be raised without a mom. I mean, that to me is about the most motivating piece anybody could ever have, especially as a mom, you know, to want to make sure that you're living whomever it is that they turn out to be. So one of the big whys is just, you know, being there for my family. And the second big why is that I was at probably one of the healthiest points in my whole life when I had that first heart attack. And if I'd walked away, like I said, I'd be dead. So I think it's so important for women to know the symptoms and trust their instincts. And I feel that I'm still here. I've beaten all the odds. And that's extremely motivating.
So thank you for sharing your big why, and I think it's always so interesting to hear what people's stories are and what motivates them. That's one of the questions we ask people when they go through our Eat Great, Live Well program, and I think it's important for people to understand, you know, their big why and their motivation, because it really helps them focus. I want to shift our conversation and get people to really understand what a whole food diet is, and I know you're very passionate about that, what it is and who can benefit the most from adopting this type of eating plan?
Well, for me, a whole food diet is really the foods as close to the form in which they were originally grown in. So it's kind of the difference between, say, an actual just raw strawberry versus strawberry jam versus a strawberry Pop-Tart. There, you know, only one of the further it gets from that original form, the more processed it gets, the further it is away from a whole food. So the whole food needs to be the piece, as I said, the most close to the way you figure out what that looks like, then it's probably not a whole food. So it's relatively easy to identify. Always as easy to implement, but definitely easier to begin to look at things as, you know, how many processes away from its original form has it gone? Further it is, worse it is. And really, that because it's so simple like that, anybody can benefit from it. Just anybody, because it's not complicated once you start thinking that way.
What's the biggest pushback you get from people when you mention, you know, trying a whole food diet? How do they react? What kind of response do you get?
Normally, by the time somebody gets to me, they're ready and willing to make a real lifestyle change. So they're excited and ready to go for it. So I don't get a lot of pushback usually from people, because that's why they track me down.
Do you think that or do you get a response from people that they don't have time, or it takes too much, you know, too many skills that they don't have to make food from scratch and to really cook healthier?
That's a great question, because you're right. I do hear that, not usually from my clients, but people that are thinking about it. Yeah, and what I tell them is first, someone has to recognize if eating healthy is really their priority. You know, we say that, but is that really what they truly, truly want? So I have three tricks to help people figure this out and try and make it really easy. So the first is I have them, you know, it's really easy to say, I don't have time. So what I ask them to do is to rethink anytime they hear themselves saying, I don't have time, to rethink it as it's not a priority and see if that feels right. So if what they're thinking is, I'd love these healthier, but I just don't have time to cook, if you rethink that and it becomes, I'd love to eat healthier, but it isn't a priority, now does that feel right? You know, and just so no one thinks I'm picking on them, you know, this works in the positive too. So for me, a great one for me is, you know, I always think in my head, I'd like to clean up my office, but I don't have time. And when I rethink that and switch it, it becomes, I'd like to have a clean office, but cleaning isn't a priority. Well, now that becomes very liberating for me. And I go, well, yes, this is just not my priority. So, you know, I start them with that. So really decide if that seems like this is really what you want to do. And then if it is, then we have to remember that what we say is a priority isn't really the most important thing. It's what we actually do that then becomes a priority. And I think as a woman, you probably see this too, you know, family and friends can add items to our priority list even when we're thinking, hey, I just don't have time for that. You know, and so we have to be strong enough to say no and then trick our own perspective again, you know, and rethink it in a way. So I have folks make a list of priorities, but only the top three or four. And then they need to learn to be really truthful with their friends and family. And that it's not that they don't have time for them, it's that their time is full with their focused priorities. So for my example, my priorities in order are my children, my husband, my job. And so if my mom calls and says, hey, you know, can you help me sort through items for a garage sale on Saturday? Then I say, Mom, I'd love to, but unfortunately I've already committed to taking the kids to the park, and you know the children are my number one priority right now. So it's a nice way to say no and still be really honest with your priorities. So if healthy is the priority, it becomes easier and easier to make that the first thing on your list. And then the third trick I have them do, mostly because when people say, I don't have time, you know, that can be an excuse that keeps us from moving forward. And then, you know, we have to set our priorities, but then we can begin to feel overwhelmed and guilty because we're not accomplishing our goals. So I have them do the same thing and rethink it. So if, when somebody's thinking to themselves, well, I should do blah, 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 I want them to change it to I want to. And that, again, then it does not feel right. So, if they're thinking, well, I should really make healthier meals, and it becomes I want to make healthier meals, then all of a sudden it's a motivating thing. It's motivating, not overwhelming or guilty. And then the other piece that I have them do those three tricks to feel out whether this type of priority, a whole foods diet, really is their priority. And if it isn't, then they need to let it go and move on to something else. If it really is their priority and they still say, but I just don't have time, then we start evaluating the day. And I listen really carefully to what their day involves, and I start pinpointing an hour here or there where they can start making their meals. And one of the tricks that I do is I ask them something in passing during a conversation, like, you know, and I don't watch these shows, but something like, you know, how's that cute young guy doing on American Idol? Or is that pretty girl still on Dancing with the Stars? Or how many acts are they down to now on America's Got Talent? Now, I don't watch any of these shows, but they're, you know, the most popular shows on TV. And if they can answer me that, even if I have no idea what they're saying, we've just found their time to help make their foods, because now they've told me their priority isn't really being healthy, it's to sit and watch one of these TV shows. So if they have that hour, you know, sure, television can be a release, but if you really want something, you have to make it a priority. And then you just switch up how you spend the time that you do have. So, you know, if they really want to watch the show, fine, watch the show while you're exercising, or record it and reward yourself after you've completed the priorities. Or heck, I've even had people move the television into the kitchen and watch the show while they're prepping the foods. So it's all about making those priorities and deciding really how do you want to spend your time, because we don't have more than 24 hours. Nobody does. So we have to prioritize our time. And then if what comes out is health food is the top priority or one of the top three, then we can find time. Everybody can find time when you decide that's your priority.
You know, I think what you've just shared is pure gold as far as shifting the way you think, the questions that you ask, because when, you know, you talk about, you know, is it a priority, it really does shift the way you think, because I was thinking of my office and my desk, and if I really wanted it to be clean and done, I would find a way to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I say I want it, but it doesn't always get done. But when you phrase it that way, it really makes me think very differently about the actions that I'm taking and the things that I'm doing and focusing my time on.
Well, and I think it's important to not allow something like the phrase, I don't have time, to define us. So we just need to rethink that and make sure we're living realistically with the goals that we have set, and that we're being honest with everybody and saying, these are my priorities. And, you know, it's not that I don't love you, want to be around you. It's just you're not a priority right now. I mean, you don't need to say it that way, obviously, but that's the reality. And the stronger we can get that message across, you know, you may even change friends along the way. Your friends now may become the people that want to get together on Sunday and everybody prep everybody's meals together, or, you know, go to the gym together, or whatever it is, versus, you know, the friend that wants to go out to eat.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I even think about, because time and money are the two things that we all have, you know, there's a limited amount of,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people say they can't afford to eat healthy because it's more expensive. And, you know, while sometimes it can be slightly more expensive, I think if people shift the way they do, they don't need as much food because when you're eating healthier, there's right. more volume. And also, they, you know, they say they don't have enough money, but they've got money to go to Starbucks and, mm-hmm. you know, to do some of those things. So again, it's that thing of your priorities. Where are you putting your focus?
And I think as long as people are honest with that, they'll feel even better. So, you know, and I tell people, it's when you look through it and you say, you know what, guess what, cooking healthy meals isn't my priority, then great, just own that, and you're already going to be happier and healthier because you're owning what you really, really want in life rather than trying to fit, you know, the square peg into the round hole type of thing because everybody seems to think that we should all be healthier. It's not for everybody. And if it's not, then fine, own it and move on.
This has really been a very interesting conversation. We need to take another short break. And when we come back, I want to continue this conversation. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Kelly Hill with The Right Plan. And before the break, she shared some great ways that you can really shift the way you're thinking about saying, I don't have enough time, and really about what's a priority in your life as far as getting healthy. And I want to continue the conversation, Kelly. And one of the references I like to refer to is Michael Pollan's Food Rules book. And mm-hmm. in that, he makes a distinction between, you know, real food, which we're talking about real foods, or food-like substances. And those are really, you know, chemical processed foods that look like things we recognize, but there's so many additives and things added to it. I think people often think that's a real food, but it's really not.
Yes.
How do you explain to people, and we talked about, you know, real food being the way it's grown, but do you ever have that conversation with people that think something's real food or think something's natural and it's not?
And it happens all the time because manufacturers, I mean, they're in business to sell their products. So they're going to do whatever they can do in order to make it seem like it's a great product. And even the word natural, I mean, that's a non-defined word. So you see something natural, cocaine's natural too, but I don't choose to do it either. So it, natural doesn't mean anything. So we really, what I tell people, the best way to start thinking about it is, can you name its mother? And that being a pretty general statement, but, you know, when you look at an apple, you know where an apple comes from. It comes from a tree. It's pretty clear. If you are going to eat cheese, you know that it comes from milk, which comes from a cow. It's pretty, if you can follow it back to find out where the source is, or what I, you know, I like to say, you know, the mom, what's the mom, and you can identify it, chances are it's probably a whole food, a real food. If you can't identify it, I almost guarantee that this is a man-made science project that somebody's created. And when we start looking at foods that come in a box, then you have to look at all the ingredients that way. You have to look at them. And if you start seeing things that, you know, red number 40 and blue number 7, you've answered your own question. The only mother to those types of foods are a test tube scientist man-made product. It's not a real food at that point. You can't go out into the world and find red number 4, you know, on a tree or in nature.
You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking that would be a great activity to do with children. And I know parents are always saying, how do I get my children to really pay more attention to what they're eating and to make healthier choices? And it might be fun to, you know, do something for a week where maybe their afternoon snacks are only foods where they can identify, you know,
mm-hmm.
where they came from, who the mother was,
yeah.
You know, to be able to say it came from a tree, or, you know, here's where it came from. That'd be a fun, actually, exercise. I bet it'd be a very educational, both for the parents and for the children.
And the other thing that, especially, and people think sometimes, you know, like little kids can't figure it out, and that those type of games make it easy. And reading, getting little kids to start reading ingredients labels. If you're buying a box or a can, even little kids can look at labels. They may not know all the words, but one of the things I always had my son do is look for a number sign. So if it has a number, anything, whether it's, you know, red number whatever, or blue number whatever, if there's a number sign on it, then we're not going to put it in the cart, because that right there tells me it's not a natural food. So even though he couldn't read any other words, had no idea what he was looking at, he could look at that, he could recognize the number sign and know that whatever it was that he was in question, it's not a food that mom's going to let him eat. And, you know, then, of course, now that he's older and can read, he still looks at ingredients lists. So very early on, with that simple technique, I got him thinking about what goes into his food even before he could read.
I love that, because you're actually teaching them reading when they don't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that people can do too is when you go to the grocery store with your kids, you know, go to the fruits and vegetables and, you know, make a game out of seeing how many colors you can pick, or pick something that's new and try it as a family, because that's a way to expand the palate and also get exposure to things that you haven't eaten before.
And that's all it takes, is just making it more interesting. And certainly, I've made foods where we, you know, the whole family sat down and we went, oh, yeah, this is awful. Where are we going for pizza? it's not going to be 100% perfect, but at least it's moving in that direction and always thinking about it and working at it. And I tried beets the other day in a way that I've never cooked them before. And we were all sitting there, my son listening, he's like, do I have to eat this? And then I tried it and I thought, no, you don't, because that's disgusting. So no beets for tonight. And no, we won't be making them that way anymore. So, I mean, just being flexible with it and recognizing that we are going to make those mistakes, but at least we're still trying, we're having fun with it, we're playing to some extent with real food, which means you have to do some investigating and figure out how to cook that stuff. It doesn't come with directions on it like a box does.
Yeah. You know, and I think a lot of people if people go to their pantry right now and open the cupboard and start looking at labels, they're probably going to have a lot of foods in there that wouldn't fit or be healthy or have number signs in them. And, you know, so that's going to be a big shift for some people to give up all packaged foods or to change everything that they're doing overnight. So are there so how would you recommend that they start, or where would you recommend that they start so that they can do this in a way that, you know, works for them and doesn't get too overwhelming that they give up?
So there's two areas. So the first one, if they want to start making the overhaul, is as they use up food and you're writing your grocery list or making, you know, your mental note or whatever, that you're replacing, say, spaghetti sauce. We'll just pick something. So pick on your grocery list, as you're making the, it's time to replace something, make it a priority to look up 2 to 4, depending on how busy you are, 2 to 4 items in the grocery store and pick the best one. So, you know, read the spaghetti sauce, find out if it's full of sugars and colors and, you know, is tomato even the first ingredient, for Pete's sake? I mean, there's a bunch out there that isn't. And that, depending on where you grocery shop and how much, you know, time you have, looking through a large section like that, you may only get one food done on your grocery list. But if you do, you know, somewhere 2 to 4 every time you grocery shop, you're slowly going to change over that whole pantry without it being a huge, you know, let's throw everything away or never eat it. You've bought it, don't necessarily throw it away unless it's, you know, the absolute worst food in the whole world. But I mean, if it's still decent, go ahead and eat it, but next time buy a better choice. And then you can change everything over, you know, really quickly, really easily, and try some new options. A lot of the grocery stores now have taste sampling. That's a great time to try something that you might not have tried before, you know, look at it, decide if it's really food you even would want in the house, and then try it. And if it tastes good, then go ahead, buy that one. You know, it'll save you from buying a lot of them. So making small changes over a longer period of time is the best way to overall change everything in the long run. And then the second thing, it sounds kind of silly, but this is really probably one of the easiest ways for people to start getting healthy, and that's to just drink more water. So if they take the time to figure out how much water they need and then get that amount of water into them each day, even if they did nothing else, they're going to feel so much better, have more energy. They're going to naturally lose some weight by doing nothing more than just drinking more water. So the best starting point is to take your weight in pounds, divide that by 2, and that's the number of ounces you want to drink. So if you weigh 150 pounds, you're going to shoot for about 75 ounces of water, assuming that you're not doing high exercise, really hot activities, you know, outdoors, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, with the basics of it, and that's the spot that you want to build to slowly, just a little at a time, you know. So if you're at 20 ounces, don't go to 75, you know, tomorrow. You'll just be in the bathroom all day. You know, add a little bit each day and until you hit 75. So that's one of the easiest ways to get a lot healthier, and you don't even change anything in your pantry. You just start drinking more water and getting enough to keep your body hydrated, because I think it was CBS reported that 75% of Americans are functioning in a chronic state of dehydration. And one of the indicators of dehydration is constantly being hungry or feeling the need to snack. So if people would just drink more water, they're going to feel better. Their metabolism is going to improve. They're going to lose weight. They're going to have greater energy level, and they don't have to make any major change at all. So those are the two that when people are just starting and they're not quite ready to, you know, take it all on, which is fine. You probably shouldn't, you know, because you want things that you're going to slowly be successful. So if they can start with one or two of those and just make a few changes each week, they'll have changed their entire life within just 6 months.
I love that. And one of the things that we teach people is just make one simple change each week for a year. And if you do that one change over 52 weeks, you can't help but shift your health and the way you're eating. You're going to feel better. You're going to have more energy. And time's going to pass whether you make the changes or not. And we can all do one thing a week. We can, you know, make a goal of this week drinking an extra glass of water every day, and by the end of the week, you'll be to where you need to be, and then you can just keep going and do one more thing, just like with your pantry. Even if you shift one meal a week and say, okay, I'm going to eat a healthier meal, you know, one night this week, two nights next week, pretty soon, it won't take long before you're eating a healthy meal every night. So it's just those
simple
shifts.
You don't want to
try
and change it all on at one time. Besides driving yourself nuts, your family will want to kill you. So, you know, just a little change each time. Like you say, each week, each every other week, you know, depending on how busy your schedule is, you're still moving forward and you'll get to where you want to be.
Absolutely. Well, we need to take our final break. But when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about some of your favorite whole foods and talk a little bit more about some examples of some people that you've worked with and what a shift it's made in their life. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Kelly Hill with The Right Plan. We've been having a great conversation about whole foods, what they look like, how to make some simple shifts in what you're doing to change your health. You don't have to do it overnight, which is what I love about the things you share, Kelly, is, you know, sometimes when people talk about a whole food diet or they talk about changing the way they eat, it's kind of an all or nothing. And right. We believe that the simple, you know, small changes over time really add up to a big transformation in someone's health. So I love that that you agree and really, you know, teach people that same philosophy.
Yeah, and I think it's the only way it's ever going to really work for any extended period of time.
And I absolutely agree. You know, I've noticed that you've recently changed your focus. You're now talking less about weight loss and more about heart health. Can you talk a little bit about why you've made this change?
Well, really, the change is because I realized that I can really be of greater good to women by focusing on the number one killer of women, which is heart disease. And it's more deadly than all forms of cancer combined. I mean, I think that's something people don't even realize. We hear a lot about, you know, breast cancer, which, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't be paying attention to that, but heart disease is more deadly, kills more women than all things combined. You know, I've been there, but I'm alive. So, yes, you know, being at your proper weight is important for overall health. But focusing on weight loss isn't the same as focusing on health. And, you know, I've seen, and you've probably seen, unhealthy skinny women, and we've seen healthy women who are technically overweight. I want people to be healthy more than I care what number is on that scale.
I absolutely agree. And I believe that if you're eating the right thing and doing the right things, your body's going to find your natural healthy weight. And it's not often what we think it should be. Your body's going to tell you what it is if you're doing the right things.
Yeah, and that's so much easier. And I love being able to focus on that. So I really have changed that focus from weight loss to really just more general health, optimal health, and in a lot of ways focusing on making sure women understand, especially their heart and what kind of, you know, the foods that they need to eat and the foods they need to get rid of.
Yeah, no, I agree. Can you give us an example of maybe an obstacle or challenge that people face when they change to a whole food diet. And then I'd love to have you share, if you've got one, an example of how someone making that shift really transformed their health and their life.
Well, I think the biggest challenge people come across is taking the time to plan and prepare. You know, and I won't lie, it's not easy in the beginning, but it's worth the struggle, because not only are you going to lose weight, you're going to have more energy, you're going to sleep better, you're going to feel better. You know, people have been able to decrease or remove medications by lowering cholesterol and blood pressure, improving their blood sugar, and all of that is about taking the time to plan the meals, what you're going to do, and prepare what you actually plan. So I think that's probably the biggest obstacle. But once people get it, you know, they have all those benefits. There's, you know, hundreds of great and amazing stories that, you know, my clients have told me over the years. But I think probably one of the best still to this day, and I'll do my best to talk about her without crying, because when she came to me, she had tried lots of diets. I mean, it was all about weight loss, but what she really, really wanted when we talked about, because I no longer really focus on weight loss, and we talk about, you know, what activities do you want to do? What goals do you want to do? What do you want to feel like? And then if weight loss comes as part of that, great. But if it doesn't, and I can still get you to all the activities you want to do, you're still going to be such happier person and healthier, and normally weight comes off at that point. And she had a goal. She has five kids, and the kids and her husband used to climb this. It's not really even a mountain. It's a big hill that she never could get to. She'd always have to stop halfway and sit down and wait for them. They'd go to the top and then come back. And she said, that's my goal. That's when I know I'll be healthy, is when I can get to the top of that hill without stopping. And the first time she got to the top and took a picture of herself, you know, with the victory arms in the air, and sent it to me to show me that she had made it to the top, you know, she was so proud of herself. Her family was so proud of herself. You know, they'd made all these changes without the kids really even knowing that they were making them. And now it's, gosh, I don't know, been a year and a half since she was one of my clients. Now she runs that hill with her high school son. This summer they were running it in preparation for him to try out for the football team. And so, I mean, she went from not even being able to walk it to running it. And the truth is, she's only really lost probably 40 pounds, 50 pounds, and she does have more to lose, and she knows that, but she's just so excited that it's, again, it's not about that number on the scale. It's about doing the stuff that makes her get to the point where she's excited and happy and loving life. The weight will generally just come off then.
Wow, and you know, that's an amazing story. And just as you're telling me that, what I'm thinking about is just think, and being able to do that is phenomenal and amazing, but even more important, think of the lesson she has just taught her children about, mm-hmm. you know, just taking one step at a time and taking action and just doing things, really understanding what you want to do, why you want to do it, and then just getting up and taking action and, you know, not giving up, because I think so often things get hard and we give up. And when you keep going and you just take one step at a time, you can get there, and pretty soon you don't even realize it. You look back and you wonder, you know, how did I get here? But it does happen.
Yeah, and you know, I always tell people, like I said at the beginning of that question, is it's not easy. I mean, if it was easy, we wouldn't be having the problems in American health that we have. Mm-hmm. It is a challenge, and you have to overcome that. And it's a combination for me, of course, everything I see is with my, you know, nutrition goggles on, but it's a whole lifestyle change. And that I think was the biggest part for me as we talked to her. And, you know, her kids were eating spinach suddenly. They're eating beets. They're eating really healthy food. They're asking her for that food instead of asking her to go to fast food, because they've changed the way they're eating. And they're so excited to see mom doing the fun stuff and out there. I mean, she was wakeboarding this summer, and she'd never even owned a bathing suit before. Her daughter got married gosh, I don't know, early last spring, and she went to buy a dress, and it was two or three sizes smaller than she'd ever been. And
wow.
You know, we never focused on the number on the scale. We focused on let's make all these changes, and the rest of it will naturally happen. It's pretty hard to run up hills and you know, climb mountains and wakeboard and not just naturally lose weight. But you can't do that if you don't have the energy, if you're not putting those good foods into you to be able to do it. Otherwise, you can't even get off the couch at that point. So it's all very circular, and you have to do little parts of all of it at the same time, and it just gets easier and easier and easier.
It does, and that's a great way to finish our conversation today. You know, you shared so much with us today and really shifted, you know, some things I was thinking about, and, you know, I have these conversations a lot, but you've really shifted some of my thinking, and hopefully you've done that for some of our other listeners. And I'd like to ask if you could share with them how they can learn more about the things we've talked about today, about you, about whole food diets. How can they get in touch with you?
My website is Kelly Hill Nutrition. It's Kellie, hillnutrition.com. And they can sign up there for free weekly nutrition tips. They can find hundreds of free recipes, videos, articles, all sorts of great stuff. Of course, I'm on Facebook and Twitter at The Right Plan. Plus, you know, I know it's a hard challenge. Like I said, I know that a lot of this stuff is difficult, especially if you have kids. So I put together a free Kids in the Kitchen video series just for your listeners. So you can't find it anywhere else on my website. There's five videos with base recipes. So they get the video showing them how to do it, plus all the recipes, plus how to change the base recipes so they have even more choices. And this way you can have the kids join you in the kitchen and cook some yummy real food together. And it's special for your listeners. It's at kellyhillnutrition.com/eatgreatradio. And it, like I said, it includes the recipes and the video tutorials just for your folks. And it's kellyhillnutrition.com/eatgreatradio. Totally free, nothing that they're not going to get on any weird email list or anything like that.
Thank you so much for doing that. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to see those videos. I'd like to end our call with asking if you could give our listeners just one action item that they can implement in the next week to start creating a healthy future for themselves and their families, what would that action item be?
The easiest one is to just start paying attention to how much water you drink. Slowly increase it to that proper amount. You'll instantly feel better, look better, and have more energy.
Well, thank you very much, and it's been a great conversation. I really appreciate your time, and I look forward to continuing the conversation with you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I so enjoy being able to get this information out there for people.
Thank you. So until next week, remember that even small changes make a positive difference in your health and your life. Healthy choices you make every day add up over time to create a healthy future for you and your family. Be sure to join me each week as we continue the conversation on how to build a healthier relationship with food and with yourself. And again, I invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and be part of the conversation. Click on our Facebook link and share your thoughts about today's conversation. What one action item are you going to take? What are you going to change about what your priority is? Share your thoughts and be part of our conversation. Have a great and healthy week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network. To get a replay of this week's show, listen to past shows, or contact Janelle, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Have a great week, and remember, you can choose to eat great and live well.